Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
Because there comes this time, we're going to talk about this in the future, but the nuns have beat the nuns. The N-O-Ns have beat the N-U-Ns, because now the non-religious in America outnumber the Catholic Church.
Wow.
In regards to their conservative values. So there's more people who are considered non-religious. You know, they don't pray. They don't consider God, you know, out there.
Sure.
And, all these worldly viewpoints, but there's more nuns than there are nuns now. Mm. The reports are, which is non-religious. So I think the Catholic Church makes up about 20%. They make actually the same percentage of Catholics in conservative and liberal parties. They're both about the same. I think it's like 26%, but they're like 31% of non-religious, of younger people. And it's like, we have to begin to, if we love people, if we love this generation, we have to be willing to pour our lives into them. We have to be willing to, if they're non-religious, instead of judging them, we got to say, well, you never were taught. You didn't know. I need to live a life better in front of you. If my life caused you not to believe, and it's not necessarily they would, but this is going to be a lot more. It's not going to increase like the numbers are increasing.
Well, Mother Teresa said it best. If we spend all of our time judging people, we won't have any time to love them.
Right.
And so we're not called to judge. We're called to love.
Yeah. And I remember, too, that she said very specifically about what America's approving of right now about abortion in front of President Bill Clinton. And
Vice President Al Gore.
And Al Gore said it's probably one of the worst things you could possibly do is to take the youngest of lives that is going on. So, you know, this is the direction that we're going in. Understand, no matter what way the world goes, no matter what societies do and government does, God's people continue on. You know, we heard just the other day, and we're going to have it again for you soon, but one particular reporter that has gone out and interviewed quite a few people that are persecuted, interviewed the Christians in Egypt that were being persecuted, and asked them, are you worried about the Muslim Brotherhood becoming government back when they were coming? No. If we get arrested, then we'll just witness to people in the jail. If we're not arrested, then we'll just witness to people out here. It doesn't matter what the world does. And if they kill us, we'll go to be with God.
Yeah.
And having that right mindset, and that's really the right mindset. But every other mindset where you're trying to hold on to things and stuff and all that, that's called your idols.
Yeah.
If you're choosing that over God, but you're free when you're willing to give up everything for God. And he says, unless you give up everything, you can't even be my disciple. Jesus said that.
Even the word says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace of God. I mean,
and I need grace. I need grace. I'll tell you what, I want you to listen to this offer that we have available for you. It's, you know, the understanding that the times and the season that we're in, and we're looking at these particular statistics that just came out talking about
from the Pew Research Centers for Religious Landscape.
Yeah. Saying that, you know, America is becoming more non-religious, and that's why they call them nuns, N-O-N. And the statistics are, the numbers are, since the, in each party, pretty much, I guess there's a Democrat and a Republican party, even those other parties, Catholics are pretty much identical in the numbers that are in the Liberal Party and that's in the Conservative Party. But even though the non-religious have beat the nuns, you know, meaning the Catholic Church.
Sure.
And which means the values and kind of where are we going, and we're about to talk about why it's so important is, you know, you're finding out why the culture is going the way it is because God's not in it. You know, the non-religious means somebody who hasn't turned to God, prayed to God, read the things of God, you know, been taught the things of God, staying away from the things of God. So there is no God in that, in that whole paradigm. Which means this, the answer is, and they refer to the more godly generation as the silent generation. And you think about it.
That's the last thing you want to be called.
You know, it's like, you know, if we weren't that silent, maybe this younger generation would know God.
Yeah.
And the question is why are we silent?
That's right.
And so let's read that first statement they have up there about, you know, where we are.
It says, Americans are becoming less religious, judging by such markers as church attendance, prayer, and belief in God. And the trend is more pronounced among young adults, according to a poll released on Tuesday.
You think about attending church, just going to some service somewhere is not necessary. I mean, if the creator of the universe is manifesting his presence and his voice is being made known and he's healing, he's revealing, he's just changed, rocking your world. Who wouldn't want to go there?
Right.
Wherever your gathering's at, right?
That's right.
And even if you thought you didn't want to go there, you would actually, after a few weeks, start to realize, I need to go back there because life is totally different now.
Mm-hmm.
But if God's not there, you know, one particular book was written by one author called God's Left the Building.
Mm.
But Paul told us a long time ago, he says, you are the building of God. So it's not, he never was in a building. In the context of that, he was in the believers who were in the building.
But if that's where they're meeting and he's not there, then I wouldn't fault them for not going back either, you know?
Well, can you imagine, you know, I guess we could imagine what it would be like. And the prayer and belief in God, you know, that these have come down. And the whole thing is that, you know, the contradictions of the ones who profess to walk with God. And, you know, we outside the grace of God, I mean, Pat's a contradiction. No, I mean, we're contradictions.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, that Paul talks about it in Romans chapter 7. But when you understand the word of God, the ways of God, the grace of God, the mercies of God, why Jesus had to die for us and pay the price for, you understand, say, wait a minute, men aren't perfect, God's perfect, and if we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then, you know, I'm not, you know, this, you know, I'm not Jesus, and John's not Jesus.
No.
Pat, and you aren't either. And
make sure you get
that. Yeah, right. And nor are you, Elijah. Anyway, so, a little joke, melancholy joke. Anyway, so, but the in the context of that, you realize, you can understand that God loves fallen people. He loves us. He loves mankind. And he wants to forgive you, but you have to actually bring him into your life to be able to do that. But if you haven't attended, you haven't had somebody preaching that message and talking, teaching you about the things of God, we'll be talking about catechism soon because the word, the scripture that says, you know, train up the child in the way that he shall go. When he gets old, he won't depart from it. That word is not train. It's actually catechism or catechize, which means to teach them the ways of God. And that's how, and just, you know, teaching them how to eat and shower and get a job. I mean, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about, you know, catechize them in the things of God. The Catholic Church has catechism, but the whole church needs to get to the point that what does that really mean? Train up or catechize the child. We'll talk more about that in the future. But so the answer would be then, you know, to, if somebody's not coming and you think about it, prostitutes came to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Sinners ran to Jesus.
Right.
The only folks that had difficulty coming to Jesus was the religious, the ones that thought they were right.
Right.
And they even confronted Jesus and said, you know, you've got to be wrong because we're right. Right?
That's right.
And so then they began to battle over with God over who was right.
Mm.
Their gathering was the more godly gathering. It's like, yeah, but if, why is all these people gathering around Jesus and nobody gathering around the Pharisee?
Yeah.
And the ones that are gathering with the Pharisee are told, this is the only place that you can go. Don't go. Don't, you know, and they kind of held this religious
captivity.
And those
that gathered around Jesus, their life was changed for the good. You know what I mean?
And the religious
was fruit.
Yeah, and the religion was saying, you know, to each other, you know, Jesus doesn't even know that this is a prostitute that's washing his feet right now. Like, God doesn't know that that's Mary. Yeah. And he that's been forgiven much, loved much, is where he talked about. And so I think that the big thing is on us, you know, that, you know, help me to live a life that's in a way that it's worthy of the call. And that's a big statement, you know, live a life worthy of the call. And when you're around a whole culture that's filled with religion, you can almost think you're right when you're wrong.
That's a scary thing about religion, is that people will settle much more easier for a form of godliness as long as it looks right, looks holy, looks quote-unquote religious, and God is nowhere around. That's very scary, very scary.
Right, and if we are the temple of God, you know, our bodies, and God dwells inside of us, when he says, I'm knocking at the door, he's not talking about your plywood, metal wood, stucco building. He's talking about knocking on the door of our hearts.
That's right.
You know, will we let him in? And God, by the way, God loves you no matter what religion said. I believe this is all happening so that God can get our attention, because death is inevitable for everyone. Eternity is inevitable for everyone. And God wants to spend eternity with you, but there's a prerequisite for that.
Yeah.
And it is making Jesus Christ the Lord, being catechized in the things of God, being his disciple. What else does it say?
Well, it says that the share of U.S. adults who say they believe in God, while still high compared with other advanced industrial countries, slipped to 89% in 2014 from 92% in 2007. This is according to the Pew Research Centers for Religious Landscape Study.
Any percentage drop is huge.
Of course it is.
You're talking about 350 million people.
Yeah.
Well, that's very huge. And if you look proportionately at, and they'll talk about that, I'm sure, in a moment. We're going to go to break. But it's the younger folks, you know, disproportionately have, you know, become non-religious.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's the dichotomy. I really believe it's the dichotomy of those who profess. If 97% of Christians, according to George Barna, who call themselves regular church attenders every other week, if your kids watch you rob God of tithes and offerings, they never see you put God first in the offerings.
That's huge. It's 101. It's simple. Yeah. That's
the
easy thing.
But your kids see that. So they just like, you're just all bark and no bite. Or they see that 81% of regular church attenders in America have Bibles, but they don't even pick them up. And so your kid has never seen you with a Bible in your hand. At the same time, you're telling him, you need to go to church. You're telling her, you need to go to church.
Yeah. It's like, at home. I know you're bringing
81%. It to church. They don't pick it up. 81% don't even pick it up, according to George Barna.
Yeah.
And so, and then out of the 19% that do, that only 3% of those are the ones who actually pick up the Bible, read it, and do what it says. So you got 3% that are honoring God, not robbing from him. And 3% that are abiding and following him. That's a very small remnant. But Jesus rocked all eternity and the universe with 12.
With 12.
We're going over some an article that just came out about where we are statistically in regards to America is, in regards to religion, a relationship with God. You've got to listen to this. This is amazing, this next thing they're talking about.
We'll make sure all this is related for you on the torch so you can see and read it yourself. Says the proportion of Americans who say they are absolutely certain God exists fell even more to 63% in 2014 from 71% in 2007.
That's 63%.
Yeah.
That means 37% of Americans are not absolutely sure that God exists. 37%. That's like 4 out of 10. 40 out of 100. That's a significant part of a culture.
Yeah.
And they say this is some of the rules are, is that, you know, that you can have 10% of a culture, 10% of anything moving in the one direction, and you can fundamentally transform everything.
Yeah.
Well, it's 37%.
Well, that's huge.
37%. And it's mostly young folks, and it's amazing how, you know, things are pushing that way. And the thing is that we have to understand that God loves young folks, and that we need to, you know, begin to reach out for them. And if you look back at everything that God had done, many things that God has done historically in the past, it's always moving with the young people.
Yeah. And the question really is why? Why 37% of Americans are not absolutely convinced that God exists?
Well, you think about this. I mean, even Paul writes about it. He says, how will they know unless you tell them? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And this silent generation hasn't told them, not through their actions, not through their words. Because you're known by your fruit.
That's right.
But the 37% saying that they're not absolutely sure about God reminds me of Psalms 14:1, where David's talking about, it says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God.
Hmm.
I mean, think about how significant that is. And he says, they are corrupt. Their deeds are vile. There is no one who does good, when he talks about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, once we push God out of the picture, it just gets horrific. I think what's interesting, too, is that Jesus said, when they're talking about, what is the day that this puppy's going to end? What's the day he's coming back? And he says, well, it'll be like the days of Noah. You know, the days of Noah. What was the days of Noah like? You know, in their minds, God was totally out of the picture. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, evil was on everybody's mind.
Mm-hmm.
Which means to me that it's significant for a few people still focusing on God. You know, Noah and his family were focusing on God. God knew it. And God spared the ones who were focusing on him. And they preached, 125 years or whatever it was. You know, he told everybody, hey, this is the reality. He's prophesying. Look how merciful God is.
And for those people who are into numbers, listen, this is, don't get caught up in numbers, because oftentimes the large numbers are going in a different direction.
Yeah. Well, wide is the road that leads the wrong direction, yeah. You know? And, I mean, some people are more into having friends than they are to having God.
Hmm.
You know, think this means that I won't, you know, be hanging around with Lucifer anymore. It's like, well, yeah, pretty much, you know, you'll be leaving Lucifer. Besides, he wasn't a good friend.
Mm-mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but you think about that, so as we're getting closer to the days of the Lord's coming, it's not going to get any better. It's going to get worse. I mean, Paul writes to Timothy in his last letter talking about, hey, as long as these evildoer dudes are around, these people that are using religion to twist things and lead people astray, he says, it's going to get way worse. That was Paul's last letter, who had third heaven revelation, who wrote almost half of the New Testament that we build Bible schools on. I mean, so many people are trying to make the world better, and it's like, you know what? We need to live better, even in a bad world.
That's right.
We need to shine our light. And this is what he says. He says, and if you haven't yet, I mean, being a partner with VFN TV, I'm telling you, accesses you to so many things that we give you, and it's just many, many prophetic messages that you'll have at any time you want as a VFN TV partner. But one is children of the light. God has called us to be children of the light, that even as gross darkness covers the nations and the people and the world, and thick darkness covers mankind, our light is going to shine. So the darker it gets, the more lighter you look. And he says, kings will come to your glory. So the contrast, if somebody keeps on trying to make a dark world lighter, then you're not being noticed anyway.
That's right.
But the thing about it is if the lights go out and nobody can see you, you only thought you were a child of the light, right?
That's so right.
If things get dark and you cannot find the Lord, you got to ask your question, do I know him? Because no matter what, you know, God sent the light into the world, Jesus, to bear witness of him. And then he actually dwells inside of us. He says, your word is a light, lamp, a light unto my feet. It tells us where we are, and a lamp unto my path that tells us where we're going. I mean, it's all about light. And so what he says, and this is totally yours as a partner. It's called Children of the Light. You need to really hear that, because you wouldn't be so fearful of the things and where they're going. It's just going to get that way. Mm-hmm. But the church is going to get stronger. The harvest is going to be big.
Absolutely.
And people finally can tell who loves God and who doesn't love God, who's given their life for him or not. What does the next thing say before?
It says the percentage of Americans who pray every day and attend religious services regularly and consider religion important in their lives are down by small but statistically significant measures, according to this survey. The trend is most pronounced among young adults, with only half of those born from 1990 to 1996 absolutely certain of their belief in God, compared to 71% of the silent generation, or those born from 1928 to 1945. Younger people are also less likely to pray daily at 39%, compared to the silent generation of adults at 67%. Young adults are also much less likely to attend religious services, the survey found.
So you think about it. So, I mean, imagine life and there's nobody you can turn to.
Yeah.
You think about technology. At the time now, the statistics are 9 hours a day that the young people and people in general are spending in technology now, on media.
Yeah.
Like 9 hours a day.
That's easy. Before, it used to be that an average child would listen to watch 6 hours of television. Remember, television was at a set location, either
right.
in the living room, and if you were blessed and fortunate, it would be in the child's bedroom, if that you consider that a blessing. Mm-hmm. But today, they have mobile devices that are literally on their person for 24 hours. So nine hours, I think, is actually very conservative.
So you think about it. So people are turning to technology as God.
Mm-hmm.
They're having a conversation, like, instead of praying to God and asking a way through it, they Google a way and say, maybe this will work.
That's huge.
That's very huge.
That's huge.
That's what's happening.
Instead of having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and God, you're asking a computer for the answers.
And they're working hard trying to be God in technology. You know, their vision statement was, you know, to have all information at all times, at any moment, on any device. And it seems like they'll be coming to pass. Their first logo was the burning man.
Yeah.
You know, it was a logo on there. But, you know, people are turning to technology. Technology is trying to answer all these questions. So people say, I have no need of God.
Mm.
That's why an EMP might not be a bad thing.
Hey.
But you got to deal with the ramifications when everybody finds out that the technology wasn't God, because EMP would shut down all those different electronic devices and stuff. But here we are, and we're coming to an end. I want to be able to pray with you because we're sharing you these pretty, and we'll make all of them available to you on the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. But the thing about it is not to criticize the young people. Let's reach the young people.
Yes.
God loves them. God's got a plan for their life. Religion, nobody wants religion. Jesus didn't want religion. Religion is what put him on the cross. He wanted us to be in tune with what he had, a relationship with the Father. And we can have that through Jesus Christ, his Son. And we share with our testimonies at meetmyfather.org, where we met God through his Son, Jesus Christ. And maybe today is your day. Go to meetmyfather.org to find out more details. Let me pray for you. Remember, please pray for us. We need your prayers. Father God, Lord, we love you. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. We pray for this young folks, God.
Yes.
Specifically that are being pointed out, the non-religious, Father God. We pray for the encounters for these young folks, God, these teenagers and young in their 20s, Father God. We begin to just, like the latter days, God, to begin to have a huge harvest amongst them, God, and help the silent generation to no longer be silent anymore, Father God, but they would spend our lives being able to go out and just share the love of God, the grace of God, mercy of God, forgiveness of God, and turning back, Lord, to truly go through our own catechism, being trained up and discipled in the things of the Lord God. I pray a blessing over our audience, those that are hearing and those that are listening. I pray for dreams and visions to be released, Father God. And we pray for all those that are coming to the Vine Seminar, God, that you would stir their heart and prepare them for what you have in store. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening, we pray. In Jesus' name, God bless and thanks for joining us. You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Dated Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.